Okay, again, I'd like to call to order a special meeting of the Alberta Village Council. Today, August 9th at 10 a.m., I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, roll call, Bill Sober.
Here.
Joyce Mitro.
Here.
Ken Holmes.
Here.
Holly O'Dwyer, here. Does anybody have a conflict of interest? I'd like to start with public comment. If somebody wants to give a public comment, we can only talk about the Alberta Beach today, because that's what's on the agenda. And at the beginning, we're going to do a three-minute comment. This isn't going to be a question answer, it's just a three-minute max comment. You will be timed. And at the end, you will have another opportunity to give a five-minute comment if you would like. Sue has a timer right there also. Would anybody like to give a comment before we start? Andy?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. A lot of people here, a lot of ideas, we'll probably agree. This is not the first meeting of this sort that we've had during the whole plan to use here to communicate and improve the because of repeating this event, I think that we should deed the property to either the state or the national parks so that they can take care of it. We are inadequate resources and knowledge to do so. So I think that should be something we should look into in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin?
I totally disagree with giving it to anybody. I would begin by saying, I understand we've been having these meetings. I was involved in one back in the 70s, and we're still here. We've done nothing. We have a meeting and we walk away, and we put up a gate or we put up a sign and we call the problem solved, and it's not. So I would hope that based on the events, the assault that happened, we would take this thing seriously. We would stay at it until we get in place something that works. I know there are people out there who want absolutely nothing done, Wild West, pitch a tent, drive my vehicle on the dunes. That's what happened for 100 years, and I want it to continue. And there are the other people on the other end of the spectrum who want to put up a gate, deny access, and call the problem solved. I would hope that as a result of having here kind of a brain trust about the people who are going to need to be involved in finding a solution, that we could meet somewhere in the middle with the goal of saying this was a grant given to the people and they have a right to access. We cannot and should not deny access. It's probably a legal violation of the grant of the property, and it's not in the spirit, certainly, of what the grant intended. Let's meet in the middle. Let's not throw up our hands and say we can't solve this. Let's go forward with the goal of saying this is our goal to provide access, but we have to do it in a manner that protects the safety of the people who are using it, and and protects the dunes themselves. It might take a year, it might be a 5-year plan, it might be whatever, but let's make sure that we don't call it solved and walk away again. I'm sorry, gun.
No.
I thought I turned to.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I agree with Robin completely, but there is a piece of public property. It, sacred about that, though. It has to be used appropriately. It cannot be misused and abused. And that's our job to see that it's not.
Eric Anderson, I just think that before anyone really contemplates what action this board potentially could take with regards to whatever recurring issues are happening on Elbert Beach, it should be determined what authority you have to take any type of action. The deed, she called it, what's your last name, Miss?
Robin Rommel.
Miss Rommel indicated it's a grant. It's actually deeded to the use of the public by the Dye family, I believe.
Bye
family, I'm sorry. It's been a while since I looked into the deed. So, yes, it's in Alberta's jurisdiction and its boundaries, and it can enforce laws and ordinances within its boundaries, but you have to determine whether or not, I think firstly you have to determine whether or not any action you take can be taken by this board, such as previous actions that were unilaterally taken by certain board members at certain, sporadically throughout the years to just order a fence to be taken, placed across the Lakeside Boulevard, and then myself and other individuals pull it down and set it on the side of the road, and I call the cops and the sheriff and tell them that I did it. I tell the prosecutor I did it. I tell them that before I did it, that I'm going to do it, and they all say, and I get a special prosecutor, the late Charlie Coop, was appointed to investigate whether I should be prosecuted for pulling the gate down, and he determined that the village had no jurisdiction to put a gate across that public access. I guess the last issue, yes, there was an assault down there, but it's not, the sky is not falling on violent crime on Alberta Beach. Assaults occur everywhere, all the time in this world. And yes, it's a sad thing that occurred in Alberta Beach, but these things do occur, and that should not be used as a scare tactic to try to get people to do something dramatic. Thank you.
Thank you. Recreation. Is anybody here from Parks and Rec?
Emily Vitruba, secretary.
Amanda Boiler.
You're a member.
I'm a member.
And I think we appointed a new member at the last council meeting, John Keeler.
I didn't know if I was appointed yet or not.
I think they have to write it through.
And Bill. Bill Soper.
I also.
Jen Wilkins in the back. Representatives from the Alberta Planning Commission.
That would be me, Robin Rommel.
A representative from Sand Products. Chuck?
Yes, Chuck Keen, straight from the president of Sand Products.
Benzie Leelana, Health Department.
District Health Department.
District.
Yeah, Tom Bowman, I'm the Environmental Health Director.
And Eric Johnston, I'm the Environmental Sanitarian for this area.
Okay. DEQ.
Robin Schmidt, I'm the district representative covering this area for this program.
Okay, thank you.
And I also brought one of our I'm a DNR DEQ, Environmental Investigations.
Oh, you're both. And what was your name?
Holly Canoe.
DNR.
Conservation Officer Rebecca Hopkins.
Conservation Officer Dustin Dangle.
State Police.
John Schneider, KLI Post.
Jeff Crowfoot, I'm actually a resident to Urd here in Lindsay.
Benzie County Sheriff's Office.
Ted Fennell, Benzie County Sheriff.
Kyle Rosa, Benzie County Under Sheriff.
Benzie County Prosecutor's Office.
I am Sarah Swanson, Benzie County Prosecutor.
Again, welcome, and thank you for coming, and thank you for everybody coming, because this obviously needs to be addressed by everybody. Thank you for taking this time to participate in these discussions. I'm going to turn it over to John Keeler.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the council for arranging for this meeting and workshop, and thank everyone for attending. It is obvious from the participation that we have a problem that needs to be corrected. My name is John Keeler, and my wife and I have been residents of the village for the past 30 years. We have been fortunate enough to be born and raised in this beautiful area. We've raised a family here, and we watched our grandchildren grow up. It's a privilege that comes with some responsibility that we do not take lightly. And judging from the participation, I don't think you take it lightly either. Unfortunately, as previously mentioned, we have been here several times over the years to discuss these same issues. There have been numerous meetings in the past, and here we are again. And also keep in mind that there have been numerous efforts in the past to control this property. It is not because we have not tried. It's because a few bad apples have managed to spoil our efforts. What we apparently have is a public easement across the private property that is owned by Sand Products, all which is lies within the village limits. I believe that the owner, Sand Products, the village, the health department, the DEQ, the DNR, and the police all have the authority to control the use of this property using current laws and new ordinances as applicable. However, there has to be appropriate signs and fencing in place to enforce the existing laws and any new ordinances that may be adopted. This year's activities at the beach were the same old thing, involved trespassing, illegal camping, driving motorized vehicles on the dunes and beach, damaging critical dune areas, and endangered plant species. There are no sanitary facilities in the area, and once again, the garbage, trash, and human waste left behind created the usual mess. The surrounding woods and bushes became everyone's bathroom. The fourth fell on a Tuesday this year, resulting in a smaller problem. However, the problem has gone ongoing throughout the summer. In addition, the activities reached a new low this year when a young man was severely beaten and hospitalized with facial and skull fractures. This situation in this area has become dangerous and is only going to escalate if we don't find a way to control it. My wife and I took hundreds of pictures before, during, and after the 4th of July activities, showing the number of campers, the garbage, the waste, vehicles on the beach, and dunes, and damage to critical dune areas and endangered plant species. I believe we made 5 separate photo trips through the entire area by foot and also by boat. We will continue to document the misuse and abuse of this area as long as it continues. Thankfully, it's not all bad news. When the word spread about the mess left behind on the beach, Christopher Kobolewski, a local Boy Scout, quickly organized a cleanup. This young man saw a problem. He stepped up to the plate, he fixed it. We should be proud of his efforts and the 15 or more volunteers who showed up, including an off-duty police officer. And together they had the beach back in shape after several hours. The majority of the garbage was collected and everything was properly disposed of. Can you imagine how proud the parents of that young man must be? This has been going on for far too long. Local people have been cleaning the mess up for years. I believe that we have a responsibility to step up to the plate and take control of this situation once and for all. I'm asking each of you to partner with the village, work together to find and implement the necessary solutions using current laws and new ordinances as applicable. Set UC dollars, install the necessary signing, fencing, and barricades as required to control the misuse and abuse of this precious area. Now, I prepared some maps, and we've got a real fancy pointer here. If anybody wants to come up and point something out, you're certainly welcome to do so. This is a map of the entire, an aerial view of the entire beach area, showing the village boundaries, the Alberta Dunes South Natural Area, what is owned by Sand Products, and where the section line ends, where Thelma's Cradle stops. This is a detailed Sand Products map, provided by Sand Products, showing the detailed survey layout. And over here we have a map of Sand Products, which is highlighted, which shows the areas that were given to the public. And those are the easements that we're talking about, per my understanding. And this is for discussion purposes only. And this is Thelma's Cradle laid out on a Google Earth map, showing where Thelma's Cradle, to the best of my ability, lays and where it ends. As we proceed with our discussion, please keep in mind that we are here to work together in partnership and find and begin to implement solutions to the issues at hand. This isn't going to be solved overnight. This is a 3, 4, 5 year process. But I can tell you from my personal experiences from just a few days ago, when I reported trucks all the way down here beyond the natural dune area, a half a mile, maybe a mile past Sand Products property. And I've learned the value of signs. There are three little plastic laminated cardboard signs down there on the beach, put there by private property owners south of that area, that simply say, no vehicles on the beach, violators will be prosecuted. And lo and behold, nobody's tore them out of there, and they've turned around and come back. We've got to get signs in place, we've got to protect those signs with fencing, and we've got to get cameras on those signs to prosecute those who would tear them down. I think that's the first step. Thank you.
Thank you. This will be an open forum, and I would like to hear from the people that are representing the various entities that I talked about earlier and where people identify themselves. Does anybody want to?
Sure, I'll try.
Okay.
I think we can all agree that, well, first of all, thank you for inviting us. We're here to help in any way we can. We're not here to tell anybody what to do from a law enforcement standpoint. We're here to assist in any way that we can help. Everybody will agree that this has been going on for quite some time, before my time even. And there's been all kinds of things that have occurred in the past. But real quickly, the synopsis of what I've learned since I've been your sheriff is right away in Thelma's Cradle and the fact that it was given to the public and that the public had a right to be there, without question. And the last meeting that I attended over a year or so ago, it might have been different folks that were in charge, but I think the last solution that had come up with was that they were going to develop Falmouth Cradle here and make it a public access. Now maybe things have changed, I don't know, but this was the last that I heard, is that they were going to develop Falmouth Cradle so that the public has a right to it and has access to it. And they were going to develop it in such a way to make it a very nice parking lot and then erect cement barricades so that it would be difficult for vehicles to go up and over, because that's a lot of the concern is the trespassing of vehicles on private property. I'm glad that we had a representative from the Sandlot, and they've been very helpful and very cooperative and will assist in any way possible, and have even given us non-gratis no trespassing, and that they will stand up for that. So they have given that us, it, you know, but again, this has been going on for years. I think if we can all agree that Thumb's Cradle's here, it belongs to the public, and that people have a right to it, I guess where the problem in lies is, yes, we probably do have a few bad apples that come and make a mess of things, but if we were to maybe develop this in such an area so that proper parking could occur, maybe a bathroom type facility, and garbage cans so that people could dispose of their waste, and the last, and of course that costs a lot of money. And the last thing that I heard was that the village was going to apply for a grant to see if that was possible. So maybe things have changed, I don't know. But again, we're here, law enforcement's here, DNR is here to answer any questions that you may have. And we're here and we want to be part of your solution. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Sure. Can I ask a quick question? Because I don't know, but how far past that Thelma's Cradle, how far past the last house does that go?
Well, when you go all the way to the end, you're basically in the dunes.
2,400 feet.
Yeah, you're in the dunes.
Okay. So it extends a long way past that last house.
Yep. Oh, yes, quite a ways. And I think what has been done in the past is that signs have been erected and said, stop, no vehicles beyond this point. Actually, we have pictures.
Yes, we do.
Signs in Florida.
So this was put at the end of Thelma's Cradle to let everybody know, stop, that beyond that is private property. But like the sheriff said, those, I think, stood up for maybe, I don't even know if they made it 24 hours, to be honest with you, before they were tearing down.
I think it was about a week.
Oh, was it a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they go down there every day.
Okay.
A week or so.
But they did disappear.
Yep.
I did not do that.
I
sure.
I appreciate signs. Signs are cool.
If you want the white one back, I think I still have it in evidence in my office, so.
and you know, Eric, I if there's anybody in this room that has more knowledge about this issue, I know it's you. And I think getting everybody together to talk about, like you said, to work towards a solution, because I think everybody in the room wants everybody to enjoy Thelma's Cradle, have access to it, have access to the beautiful dunes, but not to go beyond as far as riding motorized vehicles beyond the point or on private property, which is the Sandlot property. And then, you know, some of these vehicles end up even farther down where people have private property along the bluffs. And of course, we've met with them. It's a difficult situation. I think we all work together. Obviously, for me, it's, you know, I have two deputies working. That's it. That's what we have right now. Two deputies work. So to enforce it is very difficult. And what we can enforce, and I'll let Sarah kind of talk about that, is state laws and not so much the township laws. So I'm going to ask her to maybe talk a little bit about what can and cannot be enforced in regards to if the town or the township or the village were to come up with their own ordinances and how that would be prosecuted or
hopefully it's very helpful in that. ago. And I think, I don't want to speak for every law enforcement agency here, but basically anything they do will be brought through my office anyways. And they really only have the authority to enforce state laws, for the most part, and county ordinances. None of the law enforcement agencies in here would have the authority to enforce any ordinance that you pass. So what you would have to do is, if you pass an ordinance, that's fine, but don't expect the state police or the DNR or the sheriff's department to be able to enforce it. You have to employ an enforcement officer at that point. And then you would also need to have your own attorney to enforce your ordinances. I can only enforce state laws and the county ordinances. I have no authority to enforce your ordinances. So, just so you know, I'm not against you passing ordinance, but don't be disappointed if when you call we can't do anything. We just don't have that authority.
But if there were an ordinance and a citation was issued, then that could go, that we had determined there was a $500 fine for whatever, then that could go to the court and they could,
If you go to court, what you would have to do is you have to have in your ordinance, right, like how you're going to enforce it. You need an enforcement official, so you probably have to employ somebody to do that. And then your township attorney would take the ticket to the courts and file. Absolutely. So it can't be done, but just let
me know. I think the way most of our ordinances are now, somebody's ticketed, they can go to the village office within 10 days, pay the fine, and if they don't within that 10 days, then it gets turned over to the court. But that could still happen with our ordinance.
Oh, absolutely.
It wouldn't involve your office. It would just be directed through the court.
Right, it wouldn't involve my office or any of the law enforcement officers that you see here.
I know that the camping is creating a lot of the problems with the garbage and the human waste because there are no sanitary facilities. And I know the health department has issued statements in the past that camping is not permissible because there are no sanitary facilities under State Act 171 of Public Act 170.
I will represent the health department.
But we have to have a sign in place because people will, and it happened in the past, wandered down there and then they claim they don't have it or didn't see any signs and then it gets thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Signage has to be.
And actually, where these pictures came from, I believe, was a case that went to a jury trial, just so you know, well, since I've been here. And the jury found the guy not guilty, and they basically just said they didn't care.
As far as signs, we can put signs and inform people up in three different locations so they can't say they didn't see it. And we can put a 10x10 cyclone fence with barbed wire on top. Have cameras on those to protect them. But when it comes to blocking off the end of the properties, you need something like Jersey barriers, 20 foot long, that weigh about 10,000 pounds a piece. You put those down there, and nobody's going to pull them out of the way, and I think that will eliminate
that,
a big portion.
That was part of what the solution was last time, was to develop that Elmer's Cradle, make it nice and accessible. That area is defined. Then that gives law enforcement, the DNR, and state police a little bit more finality as to where their definitive lines might be, so that, okay, we now know that you are past Elmer's Cradle and on private property where we can take action. Whereas before this is developed, there's always been a kind of a gray area. Where are we? Are we in Elmer's Cradle or are we on private property?
Chuck,
anybody?
Can I just ask one question? When when they're talking about public access, what the public actually has access to is the streets and alleys, what's in orange up there, and then there's actually one 50-foot wide path that's designated from the road to the water, but everything else on both sides, the water side and the other side, is all your private property. Am I correct?
Well, let's be clear.
And I'm all intended. You know, I'm just watching the sheriff thing, way off on the other line, talking about people doing something on Stump Cradle. I have done, I used to work for the village. I put the gate up to here tore down in the sheriff department and the prosecutor said they didn't have anything to do about it. And it was actually a big laugh about it. Well, when you destroy property, it's not a big laugh. And you ought to understand that. If you're a prosecutor, you're the sheriff, or you're a state police officer. He counted the sheep, he pulled the fence down, the gate down, and laughed at us. And you guys, make this what had a big deal.
Yeah, that was before our time, but I think what needs to be said with that is that, and I think Eric brought it up, do you have the authority to block off access to the public? And I think that's where...
You can block off an access to the public at any time you want for construction purposes or anything else. The only access is down there. There's only one place to go, down that road.
You're talking right here, correct, sir?
That road only. Then, the beach side, then you can go to, but when you get close to the beach, you're on private property. And you're on either side of that road, you're on private property.
If I may?
Yeah.
There's a 50-foot easement down through here.
And a 50-foot easement over the dune, right?
And one alleyway. Mr. Cram Street, I need a line because you probably know more about this than anybody.
I do.
This is Chuck, he's the president of the owner of Sand Products.
Yeah, so I'm a director and I'm a partner in the company. I'm not dealing with this. So let's go backwards and respect the fact that there's been a couple iterations of trying to solve this. I remember the gate issue and I remember the sign issue. I've heard Gordy Frazier literally dozens of times to survey things. There are poles buried underground, so you can go under there with a certain metal finder and I can tell you exactly where the markers are for the boulder. And I think it was in 2010, if anyone has a copy of that letter, I issued a letter to the village and said, oh, here's our thoughts.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. And then we did lose that case and how silly it seemed. They flipped the truck over further down on private property. So let's just talk about the properties. So there are two government lots that Sand Products owns there, okay? There's the one that has Thelma's Cradle on it, and then there's another lot. It's like 1,400 feet of beachfront. Then the South Dunes, then the private property. So you want to talk about reasonableness. You got to drive until you're lost. You've gone into the abyss. You're over a mile down the beach by the time you get into these other private lots. That isn't reasonable since Thelma's Cradle is only 1,800 or 1,900 foot long, the roadway that is. So you can't see this, but this plat that lays over here, okay, the village does not have a deed to the property, right? The property is owned by Sand Products Corporation. We have the deed. And the deed is encumbered, that's an official term, by a deed restriction. Okay, somebody, Nelson and Thelma by in 1907, May 20th of 1907, got a surveyor together and they drew this and they envisioned, okay, this is what we want this to look like. Not sure what they were thinking because they had to know what the hell the property looked like at that point too. And they laid all these lots over it and whatnot. And then over time, certain things were developed, Trick Dog, the overlook or the scenic overlook and whatnot, kind of aligned itself with it a bit. But the important part of it is there are plats all over this country that just aren't developed yet, right? People plat and then they're deed restrictions and whatnot. And then you have to look at the history of whether the what we'll call it the municipal authority. And because we're in the Village of Alberta here, I'm not going to make finite statements here, but it's our impression that the Village of Alberta is the proper body to govern this plat. It's in their borders. They're the local municipality. So. That being said, you then have to look at the deed restriction and probably read it carefully. And so think about what it says, but I've read it so many times. It says that it talks about the roads and the alleyway and the land waterward of these platted lots, these little, very small, 50 foot by 75 or 50 foot by 100 foot lots that exist in here. Everything waterward up there, and I think it's more beneficial now. I'm giving a creative side to it, so everyone should be thankful. We got a great beach because it gets bigger, right? Even with the high water. So, technically, if you are on this property, and I'll grip when I say it, but technically, if you're on it and misusing it, you're trespassing. Okay? What do we say to the sheriff and the DNR and the state? Just how long we've been talking? 10 years we've been talking back and forth on this. I get the calls, 4th of July, I get the calls, Labor Day, I get the calls. We want to help, but we don't want to be the officials, we don't want to be the police or the governing body or whatnot. So we look at it, and it's our impression that it's an undeveloped planted system. We don't believe there's any finite definition of what the intended use was to be. It says it shall be for the use of the public, right? So it would seem to me, and you know, I contested this, but our council's pretty savvy. You know, they said, well, look, I mean, that's probably for the municipal authority to decide what is the public use going to be. What do you want to do with your public usable space or whatnot? Well, as the private property owners, we're pretty sure that you have to consider the whole plat when you consider, you know, what you're going to ordain as your uses there. I mean, we do see it as a roadway. Obviously, if it's a walkway, if it's a wooden walkway, well, you can't get to lots down here. And Robin from the DEQ, you know, we had hours of conversation on how this property is encumbered by different state statutes. It's got high risk erosion zones. It's got Bickford crests and critical dune restrictions that go with it, which we are very aware of. But that said, we suggest that the Village of Alberta boards and the different committees and whatnot, we suggest that you do have the right to make a logical and fair set of ordinance that would stand up to, per se, court review. You know, just reasonable. I mean, you're going to go in front of the bench and you're going to say, look, read what the body wrote in 1907, look what we've been dealing with. Do we have the right to say we're not changing the plat? Someday we may use it for something different. Someday we might decide that we want a bus to be able to drive down or whatever. But for now, we want it to be our beach. And so I'm not only beaches you go to elsewhere in the world, but gosh, they all seem the same. They got a road end, and you walk out of your car, and you go down either wood planks or out to the beach, and then you go left or right and decide how far down the beach you want to go to your own zone or whatnot. And they have a metal sign, and they say you can't be here after this time, can't bring this down there, leash your animal, whatever, no coolers, whatever the rules are. And that seems to work in all these places. They seem to be able to govern those kind of rules. So we suggested in that writing from 2010, and we still suggest it today, that the village consider the current use to be a pedestrian roadway, a pedestrian pathway. We would even consider, if you expect it every month, that the road will decide it, not us. None of us in this room get to decide it. We'll go to the court and say, is this fair? We own the bottom line. We actually own where the road is. It's a restriction. It's a deed restriction. And those exist on almost all kind of properties. You know, you sometimes sell a property and the one behind you has land on, so you don't have the right to restrict somebody from going across it. But those are usually written very specifically. This is an access roadway this wide for vehicular passage to gain access to your property. This does not happen. This is as vague as you can get. And I don't think the language is, you guys should take the language and blow it up and staple it on something so everyone can read how vague it is. All right, so that being the case, what we could do as bottom owners is be helpful and say, okay, if you want to do this logically, come through the gate system, or the old gate system, the posts, and there are some folks there, you know, that have their developed places and have been there for a long time. Some fair distance. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all the way to here, which is the logical, that's the roadway that happens to dissect the private property to get you out to the waterward property. Jersey barrier, or those are ugly, but either stone it or barrier or something that is so blatant that you have to have one of those fair trucks to get up and over it and then be illogical and have a pump stand up so Sarah can take it and deal with it. So if we had to, we could go outside the 50 feet, and our company would be glad to say to the village, hey, look, simple lease provisions, you know what, let's just lease you the private property. So that way, if somebody gets off it, there's something official to send us there in the courts or whatnot, say, look, this is official. We have a lease of this. This is our parking lot. It's cordoned off. We tell people they can't camp on a sign. We tell them this and that, and certainly, if you get out of the roadways and look at the beach, you know, 1907, when the Bays wrote this, they were probably thinking, in the interest of the public, for all for the good of it. But they didn't put any rules out. What is public use of that property mean? So I think we understand enough about how ordinances and rules are created in developing communities and whatnot that, you know, I check, but I'm pretty confident that if you wanted to define what those uses are, you probably have a pretty good stand. And you have the backing of the private property owner as well to do that. So, no, for whoever heard the words trespass, and we don't want to trespass an accidental trespass. There were not those kind of folks that are going to go gonzo over, you know, tires or bumpers backing over a private property line or something. So don't get us wrong about that. That's the only way to govern it, though. You're off this line if you're over on this property. It's the only way all these gentlemen that are law enforcement have to enforce something, right? So I would suggest so that we, you know, let's not at this forum, let's not talk about finite things and rights, because respectfully for everyone here, except for Sarah and probably Robin and Holly from the authorities, if we talk statute and whatnot, none of us probably know what the latest case law is on any of this stuff. It's what lawyers do. They go into the last rulings and they figure out, you know, what's going to stand up in your court. I don't know your judges. I do know that the jury that was selected on that, you know how the rule goes. Any day, the jury can feel different about something, and no matter if there were signs there or not, they weren't going to prosecute. So I would suggest we take this forum. Property owner stands back as just another party in it and whatnot, and you think about the things that make it an ideal beach for him, which it is, right? It's a nice property. And just know that you have the private property owner support behind you in this. Obviously, law enforcement supports you because there's three divisions of it here today, and four with the DEQ, DNR. And so what can we pledge as a company? How can we participate? Because conversations I've had with a few folks from the village, the dollars aren't going to come out immediately. How do you do anything? And then it's not just what do you do to improve it, the upfront capital, how do you police it then, or maintain it in those things? And I know that takes effort. I suggest to you that you're not ordaining, you know, deputies or whatnot, but some kind of public participation where it's a phone chain back to an authority or whatnot. Just volunteers, and it's got to be grassroots if you're going to succeed with it. It's an effort to get down there, so that means it's an effort for anyone to participate in that, right? You said you made three or four trips down there, right? The government, but it's a big effort. Certainly not made for the wrong type of law field or whatnot.
We walked it and we took a vote, and it wasn't much effort, but that's why I'm documenting the misuse and abuse.
Sure.
So that can be used if we come in and we go to court.
Sure.
Because that's encumbering you, the landowner. The misuse and abuse is encumbering you.
Well, I can assure you, when I look at it, I go down there. In fact, I visited it in the warm weather with my family, and almost every camper you have is trespassing. I mean, because they're coming right off the roadway in the first dune or whatever off the lake or whatnot, and leave that up for you to govern. But only suggest that we grant no permissions to be outside of the planter use rights, because if we did, then chaos breaks. Right? We can't be nice guys. You got to follow the black and white of the lines. I would also say while we're here, so that you understand how we interact with your village or whatnot, you're improving the backside of the dune with your water tower or whatnot.
Yeah.
We're trading some deeds. We've given some property over to the village, or we will in the next few days, to make sure that that can all occur. So even though we're strangers from Muskegon or Detroit or whatnot, we certainly are through the area quite a bit. This isn't our only parcel on the coastline. We don't make apologies for historical relations to all those ferries that used to run across the lake and whatnot. It's what we used to do. And so these are kind of remnants of of that history of being affiliated with maritime and sand, and no, we're not going to mine it, so everyone. Yeah. That's the stinger I usually look for. That's off the board. I'm going to go sit back down then and listen to your good thinking, but I suggest to you that don't get into a bickering session about whether you have the rights to do something. That's got to be decided by council. That's got to be decided by maybe eventually courts if somebody has the gall and the financial or to step up and challenge it. I would say to you this, we can support you that way. We got a lot of history on different properties. We got a great real estate and land use council. So don't let that scare you when somebody stands up and says, you can't do that. Don't get excited about it. Just say, we'll check that. You know, we'll get a ruling on that too, if you or not. So.
I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
On that map directly behind you, this was a question that I had. Is this an access point for the village here?
No.
That's Sand Products private property.
This is a roadway here, and this is landward of the platted lots. You know, can you make the argument that fattens back out and sure, I think about that.
So you could put the public.
It's where it ends here.
Yeah. So I see a long road that possibly a car could go on, and possibly people could have foot access to the beach from that very end.
That's possible. Lakeside, we're developed in that entire length. Just keep in mind, it's quite long. And I would just lay to Robin to comment on the likelihood of a turnabout there, yeah. Close to the shore and that kind of property. But yes, and so if you had an orange marker, I think the language is pretty clear. All that property, waterward of the platted lots, right? Well, this is waterward of platted lots. There certainly is, you know, so unless it's, if you're voting, I'll give it to you. Yeah.
Thank you. And we'll lower everything that.
I'm going to go sit down too, but
you
law enforcement is here to help and assist. We still live and still abide by the public form of government. That's where you folks come in.
Yeah, when our folks come in, when we call the sheriff's department, very seldom do we get a response. And it's been that way in either of the system towns that this. I see a sheriff's department once, maybe once a week, and drive through this town.
If we put barriers at the very end, if we put a barrier at the end of that road, just on village.
You know, so it's our impression. Sure, we would take, if that was the village's choice to want to develop that all the way down there. First of all, if you look at the survey of it right now versus what exists, it meanders back and forth out of the actual roadway bound. I would argue that you wouldn't end up just creating a barrier at the end. There are so many little laterals that come off, and so you could do it one of two ways, and this is where the dollar signs start ringing true, is that if you went to the end and barriered it and improved it with some materials, whether it be just crushed, you know, dolomites or whatnot, and have a stone road, then you could define it with shoulders and say, well, if you're off this road, you know, then you don't have to worry about barriers or whatnot and so-called trespass for leaving the road. If you're in Daytona Beach and you're on the improved road and you see the beach and you drive off, then you're gonna go to jail. You know, I just have a hard time believing that you can't create an ordinance that says that. But so that's ambitious, I think, and I'm not trying to thwart that. Maybe it's, you know, you said it was 3 to 5 years or more or whatnot. Maybe you do it in steps. Maybe you develop it 300 feet or 1,000 feet or, you know, and do it in segments and just say, you know, it's piecemeal. Someday we'll get to the end, but let's make the end 150 yards right now and make a little box at the end of it so there's a practical parking and turnaround situation. And then when everyone feels good about it, add 300 feet on, just move the box. So just a thought, you know, one way to deal with it.
So if we are ambitious and we did a barrier at the end of the easement, and then everything beyond that is private, would you extend the easement to the dunes so at least vehicles wouldn't go from here to here? And at least they would be from here.
Where would you go, where would you put up barriers at the end of the section line, the very end of Thelma Street?
Right there.
Prevent.
That's where we would do it.
That's the section line, we're gonna line up here, put the highway going right over the bank, right on the Alberta.
See, the plat that's imposed on it right here, sorry to reach it in front of here, happens to have a border on it. You can see it, and it's drawn, it says specifically in the plat that it aligns itself with the government lot, that is the, this is the dissection of the two government lots right here. Everything we've done survey-wise always ends right there, and I believe that's where those signs were in the photo of the circle.
Why haven't you barricaded that yourselves as a company that is responsible for prohibiting trespassers on your property?
We're not responsible for prohibiting trespass, except to the extent that we put some signs out there, and you gleefully talk about tearing them down.
But why haven't you put barricades out there, like physical
signs should work
boulders and barricades?
Any reason?
So that no one can get past your property line.
Well, here is some good reasons for it. Because the same knuckles don't get hurt on the dam barrier, and they'll come soon. Okay, there's a layman's term, because you know, if you put up, even if a kid, you know, say it's a Jersey barrier, I don't know what those are, they got like their highways, right? So someone's gonna try to go over that in a SUV or a truck or something, and they're gonna get hung up, and they're gonna get out and try to free themselves, and someone will get near a bad situation, get hurt, and then there'll be a payoff, because our insurance company will want to settle. They won't want to have to go through all the court trouble and whatnot.
Well, and I look at it, and I think, if you put a barrier at the end, what are you doing? You're saying this is the end, or that we think this barrier is going to stop you from going beyond that. Well, if you want to stop trespass, you would have to put a barrier on both sides of Lakeside Boulevard all the way the full length. Otherwise, somebody's going to drive off onto private property there too.
Look at your definition here, though. So you're saying barrier, but there's deterrence, there's barriers, and then there's safety barriers. A sign is a barrier.
Right.
Says, don't go by me.
Yeah.
A Jersey barrier is a safety barrier so that the car doesn't go into the construction crew on the other side.
Right.
We really think it's reasonable that we would have to barricade the property if you're driving down this street and you pull up on someone's front lawn. That's illogical, right? We're talking about common sense here versus that you call it bad apple syndrome, whatever you want to call it, but a sign should be enough to deter a reasonable person from trespass. I think that's probably the case. Well, sir, you could probably comment on that.
Well, that's what I was saying to Eric, is putting the barrier up there.
Boulders. Huge boulders.
I mean,
is what I'm saying.
Your boulders would not exist
for a matter of maybe 2 years with windblown sand on the bottom, on the backside, and you'll bury them.
But what I'm saying, if you were putting the responsibility on him to prevent the trespass, I mean, it would be ridiculous.
I'm just saying that trespass laws, his property doesn't even need qualifications right now to prosecute someone for trespass, because it's not marked every 50 feet, no trespass, or you will be prosecuted.
Okay, so how about this to the village, to his area?
Yes.
Okay, Eric. This is an undeveloped roadway right here, and as you pass this right here, you're trespassing on our property. We'll test that in court. You haven't properly developed or governed your roadway. I'm just throwing out a theory.
Can the sheriff define impeding traffic and what the legal ramifications are for the village if they impede traffic on a traveled roadway that is defined as to be used by the public in a deed? And when Prosecutor Charlie Coop looked at this issue, he determined that the roadway was deeded to the use of the public and that it was impeding traffic on a roadway that has been used for 100 years, and he was not going to prosecute me for taking a gate down that the village erected.
What I'm telling you is, and I'm telling the village here, from a stronger stance, you could take the position that this is a non-appropriately developed roadway, and until you develop it properly, you're trespassing on the property.
That's why
Just remember, in a scenario like that, the use isn't taken away. You could barrier it and say, look, until you, the village, develops a proper roadway, and there's all kind of laws on what a proper roadway is, and then for safety provisions, you can't even get an emergency vehicle on it. We're hiding to get an emergency vehicle down a hill. So don't be unreasonable. And it's got to be everyone working together to make it work, right? How can you defend a roadway that can't be developed and made safe to public standard?
Did your attorneys ever define the terms roadway and alleyways to mean walkway?
I certainly could. It was 1907.
Okay, and were there vehicles in 1907?
There were some vehicles, not many. Only
the
arch had.
And would a roadway, just logically, the layman's term or even a legal dictionary, define a roadway as a walkway?
It doesn't mean that you can rely on. You never developed it, so you can't rely on 1907.
But it's
standard.
Been utilized as a roadway since 1907.
A pathway, I think they've got two tracks in the UP, and I think
roadway.
You put my map.
It's considered a roadway that is deeded to the use of the public and has been used as a roadway since 1907 by the public, correct?
It's been used illegally. It's been all trespass.
Easements have been taken away by the courts.
Every sense of plat.
I think ultimately that's where it's going to end up.
It will. It'll be decided in court.
Who's going to pay for all of this?
But
it's
see,
we'll pay for our side.
I really dislike the fact that we're getting contentious about it. There's got to be a way that everybody can work together to develop a vision that says we're going to, in the spirit of Thelma's Cradle grant of public use, determine what that use is. Is that use a footpath? Is that use a roadway? We're bright people.
But as as the sheriff mentioned, the Alberta Beach Recreation Plan, that was, I believe that's the title of it, why isn't anyone reverting back to that plan, which was, as the sheriff mentioned, developing a roadway down there with parking areas, and that was already put into effect by this board.
Eric, do you
so where
to
is
get
it? Where is it? What's the status
us make
of it?
This happen?
I use the beach, but I don't reside in Alberta.
We welcome all volunteers. You don't have to live here.
You don't have to live here to volunteer.
But what is the status of the Alberta Recreation?
Also, to destroy the property, what you have done.
Okay.
The status of that, let me interject here, Eric.
Great.
Is I wrote a grant in like 2012, I believe, just before we went into the state deficit elimination plan. Okay, I wrote a grant to a foundation out of Minnesota. Laura Mandel was still working for the village, but did not have time to write a grant. She was a grant writer, so she asked me to do it. So I wrote that grant specifically for that roadway. Okay? We did not get that grant. At that point in time, the council had to bag it, everything, because the village went into the state, own state ownership, so, or takeover. So, that's where, it was all platted out or whatever you want to call it. Thank you. And what was going to happen down there, and there were, it wasn't going to be a paved road, but it was going to be an improved road way with designated parking spaces with a side curb on each side, which was the barrier, and signage. That's when the signage went up. That was the only thing that the village could do at that point because they had no money. So that's where that's at. So I'm with Robin. I mean, I grew up in Ludington. Sand Products was in Ludington. The State Park was in Ludington. I dune buggies on the sand dunes until 1971. Critical Dunes came into being, and it was like, what a bummer. We can't do that anymore. But you know what? The state came in and enlarged their holdings to make the state park a lot larger, not camping-wise, but at least the state owned it at that time, or leased it. And it's beautiful. I would be saddened to see a vehicle on the beaches of Ludington. And it's the same thing here. That's why I moved here. I moved here because of Alberta Beach.
Yeah.
I love the dunes. I love the beach. And I've done a lot of work down there cleaning up. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing human waste left in 5 gallon buckets for somebody else to pick up.
Well, and again, we got this 4th of July, We filled two dumpsters with trash that was left behind, two dumpsters. We had our DPW down there picking up trash. We had volunteers. I don't think we need to be contentious. You know, you have this vision, and I haven't seen your grant thing, but I have this vision of just exactly what you're saying. This developed roadway, there's not enough parking at the bottom of the hill for all of the people who potentially want to use that beach. We cannot close this off. I mean, we can, but if we did, you are limiting that beach usage to the number of people who can park at the bottom of the hill, and that's not many. So shouldn't there be this vision about, let's develop this road, let's provide more parking? Maybe we, like we see in Florida and other places, South Carolina, other places that we go, there's a boardwalk over the critical dunes on that 50-foot wide easement that allows you to walk over without. There's signage, there's barriers, but we have the goal in mind that I think what Eric wants, and that is that we provide for public access, but we do it in such a way that we don't jeopardize people's safety and we maintain the health of the critical environment. Why can't we do that without talking about courts and everything? Why can't we sit down and develop a common vision?
John?
Now, I just wanted to ask you, Chuck, if the trespassing issue, and maybe the prosecuting office can let us know this as well. Don't you not only have to have trespass signs, specific signs, and a fence in order to create trespass? You do not need a fence.
I mean, we have properties that are miles long.
Yeah, right.
We have to sign every so often, especially under MSHA standards, if it's a commercial or a mining site or whatnot.
A few years ago, the sand company came into Alberta and surveyed all their property and put a no trespassing sign on all their property. You know how long those signs lasted? I mean, people just think they're some toy or something.
But at least we have record of having got it, though, yeah. Which protects our
yes. And it's been done. And so if we got any prosecution in this town for Alberta for anything, I don't know what it's about, because the situation has always been that we make a complaint and it's sort of shrugged off. Now that road down there, as Chuck said, is a possibility that the village can lease some property on that road for a parking area. But at the moment, we don't have a lot of money to make a parking area or a parking road. But the thing that, as he said, we can take 50 feet or 100 feet or 200 feet and make a highway and a parking, and the rest of it is a walking trail.
Hear from DEQ if that's possible.
Yeah.
We're under a critical boom. Unlike what's happened on Craigville Street, I don't need to build a road now.
So if we found a grant or such, if we came up with some money, could we build a road that dead-ended on that easement?
So what I'll say is it's been clear that there's critical dune goes from the water's edge back to the toe of the bluff on this side towards Alberta. So what we look for are slopes and steep slopes. So 1-on-3s or greater are a problem. So when I was out there just recently with Holly, I mean, there are some level areas, less than 1-on-3, that could potentially be developed into a parking area for the public, right? This is what the use would be for the public, right, for access there. We also have to be concerned about what Chuck mentioned is something called the crest. And the crest is basically a feature in the dune that distinguishes between the beach and the upland. So we can't have any kind of parking or construction at the crest or lakeward. So we have to figure out where exactly this would go. And I was involved back 2012, looking at the parking area and there were some areas that we talked about that would work, but it would require a permit from the DEQ, and there are application fees. Unfortunately, I just want to mention that up front, and this is one of our highest fees programs for application fees, so.
We know.
Unfortunately, I know. So I just want to mention that, but yes, and we do have some exempted activities, sorry, that it can definitely get you a copy of that document, such as putting up concrete barriers, fencing, as long as it doesn't block sand movement or wildlife movement.
And that was, I was going to point there, explain about the boulders and what happened before. And when you create sand accretion with either marum grass or a structure or whatnot, that it's frowned upon, you know, because it adds sand to the beach, which you think you want, but.
I was just thinking boulders at the end of the Riverside Boulevard where it bowls out there on that.
All right, I'm going to talk to the people from the village here, and I want you to listen. I want you to think about the talks that we've had for the past hour and how clear everything is and how much we've learned about all the plans that we're going to do and all the people who are going to follow through with those plans, all the people who are going to act as lawyers to negotiate with the DEQ and the state to get this done. Just to simplify how much we don't know, I found out this spring and verified last month with the representative from the Lakeville company. We have a right of way through their property here. We have not developed it for 20 years. We've been talking about this the whole time. We have this here, and we haven't done a darn thing about it.
You mean the point, I'm sorry.
We're on the point, yes.
Where the road comes down.
Yes, where the asphalt takes you. Here's the thing. We didn't know that. I found out this spring. Here's the other thing. I can't negotiate getting through that. We don't have sway. Our largest landholders here, Sand Products, no offense, and landholders, we have walked over us for 40 years. We cannot represent our own interests. That's why it's important we find either the state or the national park to look over this and take care of it for us. We have to be honest to ourselves. We are screwing the pooch here. These people, they were here to say that they want to help, but we are a low priority. It is a long road, and if they're having to go between calls, it is not really it's not a welcome call at that time, because that's 30 minutes just come there and back, let alone what we find on the beach. So we gotta be honest. We have to accept our limitations. Money, people, knowledge, authority, and advocacy. They are a mining company. They're not going to mine, but they still own the property. Their minds can change. It has changed. Pigeon Hill's gone now, too. Do we want that in our neighborhood? We need to find an advocate for us. So let's stop thinking about ideas and try to actually solve the problem. That starts with us accepting their limitations. That's all I have to say.
John.
Another question for the DEQ. Are we getting any environmental impact statements and that sort of thing because of protected plant species?
We've had quite to do a Fisher's Thistle survey. I don't know, is locust up? I don't know what else is up there. Is there clover running around out there?
Just those, no, just the Lake Huron locust and the okay. Fisher's Thistle. So there's not really a requirement if you guys apply to do the park area for a special interest survey or anything like that. Obviously, we would encourage you to work with the DNR folks in Lansing who deal with threatened endangered species to make sure that we're avoiding Pitcher's Thistle. And that's part of the reason that the DEQ was concerned when we sent the notice to Sand Products originally is that they're actually driving over Pitcher's Thistle, which is unique, endemic to dunes in Michigan and the Great Lakes. And it's not found anywhere else. So they're really super important. They might be abundant here, but they're no found nowhere else. So it's really would be nice to get some signage up and control the vehicle traffic.
So if we even applied to improve this easement into a road, there's a possibility that we would be shut down at a certain point.
We could usually make your way through. We've dealt with Thistle there's a thick, first of all, thistle exists in moving sand, right? So it's a two-edged sword, so like if you let your beach stabilize and don't have any vehicular traffic, you could do bad things to the thistle because it'll stabilize and the thistle won't be able to move around it anymore. But generally we find that if we do a survey for you and we show a responsible way to deal with the thistle, that something that can be perhaps.
And the DNR threatened endangered species staff, they can issue permits to move the thistle. So if it was, you know, right in the parking area where we where you guys were interested in moving it, you can propose to move it. So.
But we again have to stay within that 50-foot easement.
But that's what I was saying to Holly, is that that's where the private versus public use comes in. I mean, you talk about whether it has to be straight or not, or how to fix something like that. I think the important thing is that, you know, so I would agree, and I'm sorry I didn't catch your name.
Andy Bolander.
Andy, thanks for talking. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it is odd. I mean, you've got the code. First of all, they did do great service buying that digital asphalt terminal on. I'm sure everyone, you know, acknowledges that it's nice to have the asphalt things out of town. So you have all this undeveloped property that makes up a massive part of your village, which is in its own right challenging, right? Because you're spatially challenged or whatnot. But you know, for us to step up and do the kind of things we heard about, you know, massive or grand development or whatnot, we certainly weren't prepared for it. We were interested to hear about what may happen, but if you were to do this right, I mean, you're not going to use that steep approach for any official roadway. You can't get an emergency vehicle down it, and that's like the number one deal of any development I've dealt with, is can you get proper response time, EMS. But that said, until then, do it in segments. Use your features, use your natural rights and whatnot for all the good things you can do with it. And we'll stand back and try to make sure we're not preventing you from doing that, and then support through the law enforcement, if we can, you doing that. And I guess that's all we can pledge. I mean, we're paying. Now we pay property tax on it. I don't know what that adds or how whose accounts that goes into or whatnot, whether the village shares in that. I'm sure there's some village funds there, but we're not afraid to partner in something or work with you in something. But I will say we're not. This isn't on our drawing table for something significant right now. Not until the ownership base of that point or whoever decides what they think they want to do.
I think we ought to try to partner with the Grand Traverse Land Conservancy as well. They're very knowledgeable in this, and we've already partnered with them on the Alberta Dunes South Natural Area.
And we partnered with them last summer. They're out there tearing out. How long were they tearing out?
Baby's Breath.
They're still working on that. Baby's Breath.
Right.
Tom?
Yeah, you haven't heard from public health yet this morning. I just wanted to say a few things. Believe it or not, I've worked in this county since 1990. I've never heard of this problem until a few weeks back. I'm shocked.
So am I.
Yeah.
Bring it all in.
I've been the director, for 5 years. I would remember something of this caliber. The photographs that John sent showing the illegal campground. That was an illegal campground in the state of Michigan that occurred there. Anytime four or more campers meet, it's a campground. It's a state requirement that you have a temporary campground permit to operate that. I'm seeing the conversation this morning about who's responsible for obtaining that permit. Is it the landowner? Is it the village? Is it the person that's organizing the campground event? I mean, I don't know how this thing comes together, but photographs look like there's 20 or 30 camp spots. 55 camp spots. So I don't know if it's word of mouth that gets the meeting this weekend in this place. Whoever makes that call and organizes is responsible for getting a campground permit. And it's okay, you can do that. The Dunes Pass off, they can't just have a temporary campground permit. There's a fee to it. We can do an inspection. You have to have some portable toilets available, though. Crapping in a bucket in 2017,
is ridiculous.
But can you get a campground permit on somebody else's private property?
Well, that's real life. We're gonna have to resolve that, maybe. That we're all acknowledging that it's taking place on private property.
We want you to decide whether that's a feature you want to allow.
Which is where, you know, what is lacking in the village is the enforcement officer. And like we heard from the state police, from the Austin County Enforcement, they don't have jurisdiction. It's up to the village, right, to establish their policies and their code, and then to enforce that. It's not gonna be enforced.
Start with it, the policies.
Right, exactly.
That's what's missing.
Yeah, exactly.
So what, we don't have, the health department doesn't have a problem with campground been taking place, but there used to be some portable toilets down there. And it sounds like, I don't know if a portable toilet, a pumper truck can get down the hill to service these things.
No.
So there's a problem there.
Yep, down below, they don't have a parker.
So what do you do about that? Is there a state fine? It was said we have to follow state laws.
We would depend on our prosecutor, prosecute an illegal campground if they didn't comply.
Sir, so if there's no local ordinance that governs the permitting of campgrounds, and I were to submit today to you permit F for a request for a temporary campground on Alberta Beach, what would your response be if I could file, meet all the criteria of porta-johns and potable water for a temporary campground?
We can issue a permit, that's the whole point of it.
Okay.
The permit's good for a certain amount of days. It's not for the summer.
Who would sign it?
Just out of curiosity. The local health department.
Who would sign on behalf of the applicant? An owner, a municipality, who would have to sign it?
Well,
it's deeded to the use of the public. That's a caveat. That's a caveat that I think we all understand.
So is
Washington County. But not Chuck's property, is it?
No, I'm saying right on the beach. The beach area is no question deeded to the public.
I'm saying Washington Monument's public. Can I go in there and sign an application?
Well, I'm sure they have local laws that govern camping. But we don't. So I think maybe I'll do that.
Exactly, you can, because it's an easement, right? It'd have to be a landowner. I would have to apply for that and be sure of that.
Well, I think I'm a member of the public. That's mentioned in the deed.
You have a use, right? That's exactly right, but you don't have a set of rules that say camping is one of those uses.
Can you apply, are you saying you can apply for a permit to have a campground in my backyard?
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing.
That wasn't deeded to the use of the public, though.
Okay, excuse me. This man has something to say.
I'm Chris Sullivan, and I'm the Green Trappers Regional Land Conservancy. I have a few, it's on the range around a little bit here, that's all right, I guess the first thing I want to say, we keep going back to this argument over that the local ordinance, if Alberta can create an ordinance, but it can't be enforced, is there anything stopping the county from having an ordinance that covers Alberta Beach?
Interesting.
I see Mr. Carlin is here. I don't know. Is that something that the county would...
In 2010, the county relinquished zoning capability for zoning that's the fact of the townships. So it would be difficult for the county to impose a land use ordinance on the whole beach.
That was just something I wanted to throw out there. It seemed like that would be a relatively...
What about Gilmore, though?
Gilmore Township, well, it's not Gilmore.
Chris, I heard what you heard, but I also heard that there is a process to get fined through a court that eventually will end up as a deterrent. I mean, though the law enforcement can't come down and immediately enforce it, but, you know, fines are pretty good deterrents.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's some stepwise things that could be done here if the money were available. And I'm with Conservancy, and I can't speak on behalf of our board, but I would say I think we'd be pretty willing to help with grant applications. I'd be willing to do it as a volunteer. Chuck and I were at the same meetings 10 years ago when I was working with the village to acquire the Alberta Union South property. I wrote the grant to the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. Our organization raised the match for that. We raised an additional $125,000 to allow the village to have funds to manage that park. and camping has come, even the camping has gone far enough down to impact over to Dune South. Our Greenpoint Dunes property, 5 miles down the beach, has had tire tracks that we have followed all the way up to Alberta. Pulled into a big dune blowout, driven over Fisher's Thistle, the whole nine yards. So even the money that we have set aside to for the management maintenance of the Alberta Dune South natural area, our organization feels that some of that money, if the village were so inclined, could be used to help deal with this problem, to head off those problems at Alberta Dune South, which is, as Chuck mentioned, more than a quarter mile south of where the public view stands. And I think just in general, it's I'm really glad that there's all this representation and participation here. I think it bears pointing out the forbearance that Sam Products has shown. I know for as long as I've been in the area, people have hiked through the dunes, people have used that beach. Not many private landowners are so generous with the use of their property. And the fact that they're showing up here and saying that we are willing to cooperate if something reasonable can be proposed, I think is a real opportunity for us. And so, I know it would be contentious, and people who have been looking at this issue far longer than I have, the 10 years I've been involved, but it seems like there is a basis for an agreement that the public has needed use of the roads and the land lakeward of the settlers' cradles lot. I think they all agree on that. I think even Eric mentioned that he, I don't want words in your mouth, but you talked about the village plan to have a roadway in blocked off at a certain point from vehicles, but the public would still have the right to walk on that planted area. I think if we can come to a reasonable consensus about the limitations of that site and what can be offered for public access, I certainly think that we could offer some support to finding the funding to make something like that happen.
So when you talking about money and stuff, could that include improving the road, money to improve the easement?
Yeah, I think that there are grant opportunities even through the state, and I don't know what the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund has. You can pursue development grants for it. That's how the Lake Fund Park down here around the life saving station was developed with trust fund money. I don't know how this would score as a trust fund project, but I think I haven't seen the voter documentation. Hearing the description of what's going on at that beach, I think there's an awfully good case to be made for enough development of that beach to prevent the abuse of it, so that again you're taking away some of the power from the bad apple element down there by constraining them to a reasonable use of that property.
Are there any grant availability for the village to maybe periodically place some garbage cans down there so people have a place
we
to put their garbage?
We have a dumpster down there. It's been down there since just before
at the parking area.
It is. Well, the reason we don't have
there's no receptacles anywhere.
Because there's no improved road, we can't get down there.
Yeah, there's a garbage can down in the parking area, and then there's a big dumpster there too. And
yeah, in a portage.
I'm saying periodically down Lake Sinbola.
All the way down.
I'm saying the one that has a top on it.
Years, we've developed yes, ma'am. Yeah. And it's just all over. What's your name, Rosemary?
My name is Rosemary Max. Phil and I live down on the beach, so it's interesting to watch night after night. You're talking about the garbage dumpsters. Something won't fill up during the night, so I went down outside to check it out, and people were coming down from the hill, from the village or wherever, and putting their personal trash in the dumpster. So that's part of it. The group of people who are causing the worst problems are those in the four-wheel drive trucks particularly after it rains, who drive down, go through the dunes, go back out, come down, go through the dunes. They're still doing that sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning. They do it all night long. And if you listen, because I've been there 10 years, you can hear, okay, so-and-so's doing a repeat run. So-and-so's coming down for the fourth time tonight. It's like constant. They're the ones that are moving all the sand. They're creating more of the sand. I think one of the few people that would be unhappy with the partial closure would be Corey's, who is the wrecker. It's just about $150, depending on how bad their stuff down there. And hardly a day goes by that someone or many are not stuck down there and the new sand that these trucks are creating. These are people that come down to be on the beach. They only come down to run the dunes, and they tell other people to come down and run the dunes. They don't use day use at the beach.
So what I've thought about is ours, Alberta Dunes, obviously we need to say no camping as an ordinance. We need to have hours of operation, possibly sunrise to half hour after sunset. Anybody beyond that gets a ticket. Who gives a ticket? Do we have to hire our own police to do that? Is that how you do that?
Well, most of the townships have code enforcement officers, that's what it would be.
Okay.
And then they could issue a citation.
Okay.
And then it would have to be followed up, and this is what Sarah's saying, followed up with your own attorney to present it in court. Now, I do want to tell you that a year ago, I sat down with Justin, and we worked, and we went out there and started to cite some of these people that are out there illegally, and that's what led to the court case. Did we cite somebody for trespassing, or?
I've written several more beach trespass tickets far past where we're the property we're talking about.
So, I'm hearing Mr. Holmes loud and clear today, and obviously the 4th of July is a huge problem. And I'm here to tell you that we recognize that. We have an action plan for the 4th of July for Frankfurt. I just met with our emergency manager. We are not going to include Alberta for that particular night, so that I can work with the state police and the DNR so that we can have more law enforcement presence down there. I think that alone will help a little bit. So that's why I said initially we're here to help, and we don't want what happened there. That was a shame. I think everybody in this room will agree that to go out there and just trash the place is not what we want in our home. So that will be part of an action plan for the 4th of July. And then in the meantime, you as a village, work on your ordinances, and we'll go from there.
We appreciate and understand your restraints and manpower, budgets, just like the village has, and that's why we want to partner with people like Sand Products, who are offering their assistance, and Grand Fair's
Perfect. Everybody work together for a compromise.
Yeah.
And I have to say, if I don't understand the camping permit, I have trouble understanding how the health department could give a camping permit to somebody on private property, someone else's private property, or
it would be related. You'd have to work that those details out. I mean, the camping applicant would have to have the permission.
No camping.
Okay,
it says it can be used by the public. It doesn't restrict camping. The deed does not restrict camping.
I'm just
being the devil's advocate, which makes everyone think I'm being an ass.
Okay, Jen?
Can I suggest to the council that I think our contract might still have this, but can there be a beach committee where John is involved, Keeley, John.
Yep.
A member of council and anybody else who, because council is busy with stuff, I'm not saying that everybody on council can be involved.
I think Parks and Rec should do it.
Yeah, well, we need to, I don't see the ordinance book on the table at all, but we need to get out the ordinance book. There are things in there regarding the beach.
I can meet you at the office anytime.
I have a copy. One on my
house. It's on the air.
So we need to make up the rules, present them, approve them, have another meeting to see, you know, what's, and move forward.
And just as a blanket, Parks and Rec should be, I don't agree with that at all. I think that this is a community thing.
Well, to get it started.
Yeah, but it's not a Parks and Rec thing. It isn't. I mean, numbers with Parks and Rec have dutifully cleaned the beach over the years, but it's really not their. I think on the council, there was a beach committee, and Bill was on that at one time.
Yeah, and we.
So, you know, it's like, you know, maybe.
Bring up the old plans from 2012.
So, yes, Parks and Rec does have a beach committee. And I think that definitely Parks and Rec should be involved in what's going on, for sure. We don't have a full commission right now. Now, John, I guess you just joined Parks and Rec. Okay, great. So we have a meeting tomorrow at 6:00. That's our meeting. Great. And so it's the second Thursday of every month. And we will, if Jen is on now and you're on, then that means we do have a full commission. We have a 5-member commission, so that's good. But we can always obviously use volunteers, because most of us are working. It's the same problem all the time. So we can have, not only have a committee and have meetings and have legal meetings, but we're going to need a lot more manpower than that. Andy?
I just want to say that I've been to a lot of these things just in the short time that I've been in the village, and we have lots of ideas. We have hardly anybody that follows the plan, let alone follow it through. We have 5 committee members now in our committee, but we have so many things that need to be walked through, particularly with the beach, going through the DNR, learning how to do that, writing grants, getting that followed through, talking to people. Half the people in this room are going to leave and not come back until 2 years when we have another one of these meetings.
I was just going to follow up on exactly what Andy was saying, that I thought that what would come out of this meeting was not giving it to Parks and Rec and saying, here, handle this, that there would be, we would come up with a to-do list. And it's going to be ordinances, and what are we going to need to do in terms of signings? What can we do in terms of grants? What can we do, what are we looking at in terms of getting the word out, enforcement? I mean, I just envisioned that there would be this to-do list, and I don't think you voiced that on Parks and Rec and say, here, handle it. I thought that would be a list of what needs to be done. A vision. What's the vision? Are we going to walk? Are we going to say, "Hey, Parks and Rec, do something about putting in a 2,400-foot road," or are we going to talk about developing a 5-year plan? This is what we want the first year. This is what we're capable of doing. This is how we're going to fund it. This is where we're going to be the second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year. There's going to be a huge sign, big as life, that says, property under development for public use. This is the vision that we have for it, and we come up with that kind of thing. What's the funding? Where is it going to come from? What can the committee do when we put things in place? How are we going to enforce them? Do we have code enforcement? I mean, I think there's a gazillion.
Yeah. Who's our lawyer? Who's our lawyer?
I know who the lawyer is.
Henry Ferrer.
So, we have meetings in there, and the council decide on ordinance, then we'll follow the ordinance.
Chuck.
That's what you have to do. And if you've got to work together, but you can't be sitting down there laughing and going up and down there doing like Rosemary says, and they've been doing it for years and disturbing the people that own property down there. They don't even care when they drive by there 40 or 50 miles an hour. Sure. You're not even thinking about those people that live there.
I feel like there's a repeat factor here, which I know you probably experienced more than I have. But I think it needs to be peeled back a little bit further. And they're playing devil's advocate.
Excuse us.
I think you need to peel it back one more step. And I said when I first got up that I wasn't going to make this an this decision, I don't want to be the decision maker, I think it's somebody else. I think you as a village, as a municipal authority, need to understand what your rights are.
Yes.
Okay, and once you understand those rights, you can maybe deter, you know, thoughts that are incorrect and accurate. You can take this, but you can't take this. Learn what the rights are, and then with confidence, sit down and write a set of ordinances that comply with your rights, then look out to your law enforcement to help, and then go to the Land Conservancy and work with the DEQ to do the things that you have the rights to do. And then, because I still feel like you get into the devil's advocate role here. Again, we think we understand what your rights are. We want you to understand your rights so you can act. So let me say one more thing. So let's think back to the deed. And this is a plat we want to put up in the Village of Alberta. And all roadways, alleys, and land waterward of these platted lots shall be for the use of the public. And no governmental authority shall have any jurisdiction, and we shall effectively create an anarchy with this plat. If you're going to say that to a judge, because once it gets to the Michigan Supreme Court, they'll laugh and uphold your rights as a municipal authority to govern your lands and govern the easement uses on your land. That's our impression, but we're the landowner, we're the bad guy, remember, the prophecy here. So check that out. Once you understand those rights, this should be a lot easier, really.
How is the Michigan Supreme Court going to define roadways and alleyways?
That's what I'm into when we build
a road. Just a couple of observations that I want to tell you to you and this committee that's coming together. One of the areas you need to touch on is in Frankfurt for the Chamber of Commerce. I've had people when I was still cutting hair that came in and said they were camping down there after the weekend, and they said, "But we called first. We called the Chamber of Commerce in Frankfurt, and they said it's okay to camp here." And John has a website where this woman put some information about the company that owns the property is a glass company, and they don't care. And so follow me, and we'll get.
Oh, they called up her to ask that.
No,
this
is a website. Her name is Michigan Matt. I had her address. I can let them give it to you so you can straighten her out. Because I wasn't going to get into a battle line.
We did on the campsite, just so you know.
But yeah,
But she advertised that. She gave maps how to get there, and even mentioned that people have been putting up signs for years, but some rascals have been tearing them down, and you'll feel like a criminal, but you aren't trespassing. And there are websites out there on the web that are advertising, next year we're going to have the fourth annual beach on the party on the Albert Beach. Social media is everywhere.
So that's why it is, from my perspective, it is like the most important thing right now is for what you just said, is for the village to understand what their rights are and then work from there into establishing code and policies. Parks and Rec can't do that.
So we need to find out what our rights are, get a hold of an attorney who's really good with.
What is your commission to use, gentlemen, for Troy Stewart? He's doing your land stuff with on the backside of your water tower improvement or whatnot. He's been working with our council. We could mention this for our council and have those two talk and see what your concept is or whatnot. We use McShane Bowie out of Grand Rapids. Anyone knows any of that council from there? So maybe that's a start. Just throw this in front of them and see if they give us their 2 cents.
That would be awesome.
I think so.
Which out of this meeting, I mean, Robin had her thoughts of what she thought was going to come out of this meeting, and probably everyone here had a little bit of thought. My thought was that, you know, all these people, all these organizations are here for a reason. They're here for the same reason that I, as a resident, was here. Want to deal with an issue, right? And so out of this meeting, my hope was that we could, yes, it's up to the village, but we have contacts now. We have, who is the person that we can call at the state place? Who would be that person? Okay, the Land Conservancy, the DEQ, the DNR, you know, who is that? And out of this meeting, having, I mean, we know we can call Robin. We know we can call her. But is that legit? Is that who our contact is? And that committee, if we were granted from the people here, if we were granted the right or the okay, the authorization to contact you for, because there's going to be tons of questions within this committee. We're coming out of here and we've got a lot of information, right? But we're going to have a lot of questions. And so instead of beating around the bush and five of us, ten of ten people saying, oh no, I think this is what they said, you should what we can do, who can we call and get that legit answer in a quick, you know? So that was my hope, is that yes, we come out of it with a plan of action, at least one plan of action, and then who are our resources? And our resources are here, but not every single person here is going to be our first line resource, and who would that be? That was my hope.
Andy?
Yes, I would like to say that we don't know a lot. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the time to learn. We are not lawyers. It does not have to be this hard. We can find a partner that shares our interests and will improve the property, which will thus improve our village, improve our land values, improve the experience for people visiting here. That will have a toilet at the beach, possibly. That would be amazing. But here's the thing, is that who's going to carry the torch here? It's not that all these officers and all these nice people who came to visit us. It's going to be somebody in this room. And if it's not you, you got to think about where you want your beach to be in the next 5 to 10 years. Thanks.
John?
Yeah, I just lost my train of thought.
Been there, done that.
Well, again, I believe that it should be at the Parks and Recreations Committee level to get all these answers to these questions. And I would really like everybody to sign in, leave your affiliation, an email, and a telephone number, so that we have that at our disposal, because I'm not going to know how to get hold of you at the Land Conservancy. And it's an important tool that can be handed out. Thank you, Chair.
It's like the easy button.
But again, it gets tied down into 2-hour meetings like this where nothing gets accomplished. You put it at a committee level. Let them do all the footwork, bring it back to the council, and you make the decisions. So we are. That's the procedure we should follow.
I have the beach on the agenda for tomorrow's meeting, and then next week is a council meeting, and Mary, if you could put the beach, Corey, if you could put beach on the agenda, we will propose something
awesome
to the council.
And then, what about the attorneys?
Yeah, what Sam Rice can do is we'll have our council reach out to, I'm going to say the village council, just because that's
yes,
contracted,
yes.
But you know, perhaps they could produce something that they were both willing to put their names on. I don't know if two firms can do that or not, law firms,
that
but so that you know it's not biased on our behalf, your council's willing to nod at the same thing, and maybe it's just one page of opinions on how what your requirements are or rights or whatnot. So we would do that, Sam will do that.
That would be great. And you know, my question is, you know, for doing that, they could do filming, and I think we can all agree that
probably
don't want
campy. Well, I want to have a new ordinance. I want to answer a very fundamental question. Where should that set of easement rights be governed? Because there's no one in their right mind that should believe that they're not to be governed.
Right.
So that's what I want you to understand first. Mm-hmm. I still believe it's the village. Maybe it's the county. Maybe it's the state. I doubt that. It's in your county library, right? It's filed, the plat that you keep referring to. It's been in there a long time, Eric, right? Since 1907, so 110 years, right? So who was governing it back then? Gosh, who was governing this area in 1907? Do we know? Was it the village at that point?
It wasn't me.
No, who was it? Was
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yes, the village was incorporated in 1894.
I got if that's the opinion of good counsel, and do it, let somebody challenge.
That's what we need to do. Your council will work and come up with a
plan
for it, and we will work with it.
So our council meeting is next Thursday.
Okay.
So.
I don't want to promise for lawyers, but.
So if that was possible, that'd be excellent, otherwise.
He's gonna get the pen to Alex this year, next Thursday.
And we continue to pledge to all the law enforcement, everyone, at the different levels that you need to contact us, do it. We're behind it.
Can anyone tell me what the status is of the fundraising effort on your website to implement the beach recreation plan?
Have you heard about it? That's the status.
So there's supposed to be a fund that Alberta has that people are supposed to donate to for the creation of the roadway and all these things that are in this plan. And I, sir, I'm talking, please. And secondly, I'm wondering, in this recreation plan, I'm kind of perplexed why this meeting and everyone's here discussing it, and we're not discussing the plan that was set to be implemented and adopted by this board that's already in effect, that's just sitting there on a shelf. And it would seem to me that everyone here should have a copy of it and be going through it meticulously right now. And that's where I think anyone interested in this issue should probably start, because there's a lot of good stuff in that. I haven't read it in probably a couple years, but there's a lot of good stuff in that. And you know, Ken Holmes, when he was the DPW worker, went and got bids from people to actually start this process. And that's when she, I forget her name.
Not Ken Holmes, Ken Bonney.
Ken Bonney, I'm sorry. Ken Bonney, excuse me. So there's a lot of stuff that started back then, and then it kind of just got sidetracked because we couldn't get a grant, or Alberta couldn't get a grant at that time for that specific purpose. So why don't we start with that recreation plan and see if that still should be the plan, and maybe re-adopt the plan or reinforce that that's the plan that we want to stick with. But I think that's the starting point.
So I disagree. I agree with Chuck that, first of all, what are our rights? We have to know what our rights are, and we have to get that opinion to the attorney. And then that's where we have to start. Then we have to do ordinance, you know, and then we do all that stuff. But we have to know what our rights are. Because
have you read the plan?
We can plan anything we want.
Have you read the plan?
Do we have funds to talk with the attorney?
Maybe
it's
good to answer.
But nobody hears. When's the last time someone's looked at that plan?
This morning.
You looked at that? Wait, I haven't looked at it in at least a year. I think everyone started looking at that plan, because there may be a couple things that I disagree with in that, but there's a lot of good stuff in it. So I think that's the place to start. And I don't know if it's available on your website.
Yeah, it is.
It is. So go to Alberta's website, and you can probably find it. And everyone should read it if they're really interested in this, and see if you can agree to everything in there or not. And maybe after everyone digests that, see if that's the direction that everyone still wants to go, because that's what you adopted, and that's basically what should be implemented at this point.
Eric, you have to be mindful that the owner's a little sheepish for having had tracks a few thousand feet pass some signs and go for a simple trespass and have a jury of your peers in this area say, no, that's not wrongful.
They believe that the elements were not met for that trespass charge, which probably relied on a notice element. And when a jury's looking at whether or not someone received notice and whether or not they drove right past those signs or whether they didn't, you know, juries are very quirky.
That wasn't the problem. The jury thought they did it, but they didn't care.
Okay. Did you talk to the jurors afterwards?
I know the jurors. They
absolutely ruined it.
Well, juries are quirky.
Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with this opinion or I'm endorsing it, but they said you're using a lot of county resources for a trespass.
It's jury nullification.
Yeah.
Maybe we should jail the
and
jury.
I'm not saying that's right. It's a crime.
Nullification is illegal. Though.
So while we have all these experts here, especially Sarah, I'd like to know, what would be a reasonable fine for camping?
I think a first violation of an ordinance, I think $1,500, anyone there would be normal.
What about a second violation?
And I would do that per day, so that it's recurring, then I would go up to $1,000 per second. I think that would be normal for most of our ordinances.
But doesn't the health department, so that's just for an individual camping, not like a campground, a temporary campground you're talking about?
The health department, you need an actual campground.
There's a campground, there's a for not violation is a legitimate campground.
They're going to come find the property owner.
Your name's
on. The property owner is not going to allow camping. Why are you even discussing it?
Because that's what happens.
It needs to.
No. Because you're right, Ken. I mean, that's up to the council. That would be up to the council.
Yeah, I'd ask, and then you're going to have to pull DQ Robin in to see whether you can even get a campground that far towards the water, you know, in front of a crest or something.
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know, I'll go backwards. I think, you know, part of the problem is people start to look at every possible issue out there at the same time and it becomes overwhelming. And I think that Eric makes a good point. I think, as Holly said, and Chuck, the first step is to find out what rights the village has to set limits on this really vague plat of public use. That's number one. Number two, as Eric said, you have a rec plan for the beach that was, I assume, approved in public meetings and codified here. That would be a second thing that you could also submit to your attorney and say, assuming the attorney says you have some right to set rules down here, are these rules that we adopted, or this plan we adopted in 2012, consistent with what you feel our rights as the village are? And he says, yes. That opens up the possibility of applying for grant funding or raising money privately to implement that plan. And then beyond that, you have the more nebulous, I think, part that's working the most argument here is the issue of ordinances and whether you limit, you know, anything after dark, or you limit camping, or you limit whatever you limit down there by an ordinance, whether you create an ordinance officer in the village. I think all that stuff is a step three that's going to take quite a lot of time to work through. But I think if you work stepwise and you make improvements, it makes this whole daunting task of doing something at the beach smaller. I mean, and you maybe get beyond the step that we always get to where everybody gets overwhelmed by all of the issues down there. You can make improvements in a stepwise manner. I think it also it makes it easier to continue to get funding to implement things if you show that you have some success in taking small steps that have measurable outcomes.
And Chris, those who are agitated by the nature of controls, right? If you stick a control out there that, you know, greatly limits things on day one, and you can show people steps forward like that, it starts opening minds about, okay, if I can see this, I'm not going to fight back against logical control. But if they think that something's being removed from their use, you know, their rights or whatever, then they'll fight for day one and goals.
Becky.
I think one more thing that needs to be established is the line in the sand. There needs enforcement standards. I need to know when I go down there on a complaint where Thelma's cradle or the public's interest ends and where the sand property again begins as far as that land private, and then we get down towards Trilling Trail and all the other private areas. I've been called down there to enforce mostly just trucks driving on the sand. As you go down that road, there is no, because they've been torn out, and I understand that because I've dealt with the public for almost 20 years now. A reasonable person could continue on. I had a complaint from Monday where the people are nice people, but they didn't stop until they saw the little plastic sign way down by Trilling Trail designating that says, you are no longer on public land, this is private. And I know that those signs are going to get torn down, but I can't enforce a trespass until I know where that line is. And all it is reasonableness, that a reasonable person, and it doesn't have to be a giant barrier. I don't put giant barriers on my 100 acres in Manistee County. I put signs up, and I know that they get torn down, but that's my responsibility to maintain those. The trespass law says that it doesn't have to be every 50 feet. It has to be at a point of access. And again, what it comes down to is it reasonable? Does a reasonable person know that as they're driving down this trail that has obviously been traveled by trucks before, that I'm no longer on the public access point and that I've gone on to other people's property
whether it be a sign or maybe it's be a hydrant or a post or something, that the, everybody knows Thelma's Cradle has ended and I'm on somebody else's property now. Then I can enforce trespass, meaning I can enforce the camping. Again, I can't, I'm not talking about Thelma's Cradle or anything, I'm talking about the excessive stuff that goes beyond that point. And yes, there's critical dunes within that, but again, there's gotta be a line where I can say, we have a letter saying we can enforce trespass. You shouldn't be camping, you shouldn't be, if you're not doing anything wrong and drawing attention to yourself, nobody's going to complain. But once the trucks start getting buried, once the camping and the excessive litter become a problem, then we at least can enforce it on behalf of the property. So one of those other things that needs to be established in that, that be, where does your line end? Physically, we know where it is on paper. Where does it physically stop? And where does the reasonable mom and pop or guy driving a four-wheel drive truck with his kids know he can't go any farther and that he's breaking the laws? And then also, once we know where that line is, we know where your laws or where your rules will be implemented and where they don't really apply anymore. And that, that's somebody else's interest. So,
are your vehicles outfitted with GPS? Granted, I know it's time.
We don't have cell signal. As soon as we go over that bluff, it, I don't have like at all. So my GPS probably wouldn't.
Yeah, just assuming the signs are missing for this scenario, right? So
yeah. Well, that's just that I drove. If you drive down there right now, I could drive for miles until I hit three little green signs at the end of Trillium Trail. I could drive, not know that I was doing anything wrong because those signs don't exist anymore. And I know, I knew where they were before, but I still don't. I enforce reasonableness. So I can't say, well, you're trespassing and you should have known better if I can't even find it. So.
Would you information board, like they have in the national parks, with some of this information on it, as long as it would last, just would that, or would that help us?
Property owners, and I deal with beaches all the time. We're just working on our home, holding things of me. There are signs always that say you have left public property and you are now on private property. And some of them stay and some of them don't. And I know that they can't be policed all the time, and I guess that's just what we have to deal with. But we might have to just keep replacing them, even if they're cheap little signs. If someone, if I have to go down there and put them up on behalf of a company and say, hey, here's a new sign, the line has to be there, whether it be fencing, as far as from the Regional Land Conservancy, like the cable fencing or something, that's that, because they also want to protect that South Dune area so that doesn't get driven out. And that's what happened, is people drove through sand property and then South Dune property, and then they're on other people's property, and they just, like you said, they keep going until they get to the green point sometimes. So
at one point, council was approved to have a sign on Scott Cass property on the other side of his fence. I don't know if it's still there or
there's
not.
There's one.
Is it still there?
It's a staff at the beach or something like that.
So I have a question for Becky.
That's an option.
To me, it sounds reasonable to put a Jersey barrier, or two or three or four, at the end of the platted easement, which says no vehicles beyond this point.
Or you can
and
get
that at least is one.
You can notify the public that this is the end. This is the end of Thelma's Cradle. No traffic beyond this point.
You are leaving public property,
right.
No traffic beyond this point.
Whose responsibility is it to maintain that?
Unfortunately, it's property owners.
Okay. And what, to your knowledge, has Sand Products done to maintain a clear, definitive property line?
I can tell that they've tried, and obviously there comes a point where a property owner just gets so discouraged that they stop. And
trust me, I know.
Especially if they spend money on a trial.
I think you're going through
something. Exactly. And what happens is, even with all those signs, the public and the jury still said, we don't care. I guess we will continue to keep enforcing it.
Do you know what the term freebie means as far as a trespass law? Well, it was explained to me by the officers that I called complaining about trespassing on my property for the last year. And if they find someone on someone's property and they give them, like I have to call the cops to come give an official notice to those people that you are trespassing, even though they climbed over berms, over trees that I've knocked down, and ripped down all my trespassing signs. I, as the property owner, am responsible for that. And I keep putting up trespassing, no trespassing signs. They keep getting ripped down on my own property. It's very frustrating and it's infuriating, actually. But it's still not, it's not the local community, Alberta Village's responsibility to put up these barricades or put up these signs. And my question is when you catch the person that you're just mentioning that has driven past and a reasonable person could construe that as still public domain down that far, do you give them an official notice at that time and keep a record of that person?
So there are three types of trespass. Let me explain them to you. There is recreational trespass, and recreational trespass has twofold. It applies to either farm property or, you know, wooded your property, yours or mine, 80 acres type thing. That has to be posted or fenced. And again, the sign has a legal definition, but the placement of the sign doesn't have a legal definition. So there's no 50-foot rule. It's wherever there would be access points and containing the property. Okay, so that's recreational trespass, and as you're applying to your property. There is criminal trespass, which is a state statute as well, and what it means is, say there's somebody decides they're gonna camp on mixed property, and they're not gonna post or fence their property. They like it natural, they don't wanna, or just between you and your neighbor. You say, hey, you are on my property, you are trespassing, you need to leave. They don't leave. And usually that occurs with a notification of a police officer. You know, I mean, they can say they refuse to leave, we gotta come back and then tell them, you need to leave. And if they don't leave, then enforcement action can be taken.
What if they come back the next day?
That they're breaking the law.
Okay, because they didn't put on notice.
Then there's a little caveat in the ORV Act, Part 801, that says that an ORV, which a licensed motor vehicle is considered an ORV, if it's operating off of a roadway, okay? So hence, anywhere beyond the designated Dumb's Cradle. So anybody operating on that beach is considered a motor vehicle, is considered an ORV, plated or not. That law does not say that it has to be posted or fenced. It just says if you're operating an ORV over somebody else's property, you are trespassing. So anybody just bombing through everybody's yard, they would be considered trespassing. That is some of the law that we're enforcing down there. It's not posted, that's because it keeps getting ripped down. And so then we just go down there with just the motor vehicles in mind. We can't kick walkers off there again because that's a different type of trespass. So that only applies to the motor vehicles. But again, reasonableness says, if I can't figure out where the line is, why would I just start writing tickets to everybody who's doing that? So again, most of us say, You're too far. You're not on Dumb's Cradle, and you won't get off.
What is the property owner's responsibility to define that line for law enforcement?
Yes, because it's private property. The government's not going to put signs up for people. Now, it would be cohesive for the township to say this is because their laws are also going to be impacted. So when they do decide they're going to make rules or laws, they need to know where those laws end because they can't apply those all the way down the beach. You know, we can't say no camping, and then the guy could go down farther than the beach. So by putting up those signs, they're saying, you know, our property ends here, or, you know, other people know where those laws apply. Does that make sense too?
Yes.
So it helps them as well, because they otherwise it looks like they've just taken the whole beach, and that's not, again, that becomes the overwhelming thing.
So maybe Alberta Dunes might want a sign like on the north side beach area, welcome to Alberta Dunes South motor vehicles. Well, hopefully you won't even have to do that part, but maybe like a welcome to Alberta Dunes South, so that people realize, I'm on Alberta Dunes.
And it could be just a person I coach, will tend to sometimes last longer until they get shot at. Saying this is the Dumb's Cradle boundary line. You know what I mean? And if you put carcinite posts that far into the sand, they should hold up. You know what
the inverse way to look at that is if you have a developed roadway and leave it, reason says I've left the roadway.
Yes. And again,
that's why we keep promoting it if it's very short to a parking area.
Yeah.
That's so much easier to
again,
define.
Again, reasonable people would know when the road ends, the road ends.
Right.
And that's it. You shouldn't be driving beyond it.
I mean, isn't it code in most places? If you turn into a dead end, isn't there generally a dead end sign that is on that roadway that says you're about to run into a dead end?
That's why you label by Department of Transportation and all that kind of stuff.
just like to mention that I am the one who caught the two trucks down there on the beach. I called the sheriff's department and was referred to the DNR, filed a complaint with the poaching network for the DNR, and then notified the officer that arrived. And we had a very good conversation in that what I wanted them to receive was a nasty letter or a good ass chewing. I don't intend to pursue products because one of them claimed he was a state policeman, which would be a very stupid move on my part. So I think with video cameras, things that are available today, those things can be used in court as well.
Yes.
And one of the guys was from Nevada, so that's how far it's away, a stretch though.
Yeah, we also need that.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem. We're going to start, Sam, so Chris, I know you're taking mental notes. We're going to start with having our counsel just suggested to Troy Stewart, your counsel, that they need to have a conversation. We'll have our counsel maybe draft the minutes of that conversation, and then it'll be up to your counsel to represent you as to whether they want to represent or sign, say they agree with you or not. I think that'll help you.
And then we'll be able to get that into the recreational for the planning commission, and they can get that implemented and then.
I have a question for the current law enforcement in the room, and I guess I'd include the prosecutor, as to whether or not they have an opinion as to whether a unilateral board member can direct a DPW worker to go erect a gate at the edge of the parking lot to prohibit vehicular traffic and even foot traffic, as it was, down Lakeside Boulevard currently. I know the former sheriff, Rory Heckman, said no, and he agreed with Charlie Coop, the late prosecutor. But I'd like to understand what local prosecutor and local current law enforcement say about whether or not the village can, by unilateral action of a council member or even as a full board, tell DPW to go erect a gate up again without facing their own potential prosecution for impeding traffic on that public roadway that was deeded to the use of the public.
I don't think you're describing exactly what we're going to go answer by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That's what happened in the past. I don't think they're going down that road. But the attorneys get together, find out exactly what they can and can't do, and then from that point, we'll go forward.
We're just trying to keep people safe, let them access the property,
and use it.
And not die when they're just trying to use it. We can't have people going down to the beach and having skull and facial fractures. And I don't care what kind of person you are, but this is not an assault that was someone's trying to use a scare tactic to get us to get any laws down there. I mean, an assault and a possible death is very serious, and there's no other way to put it. This could have been your family member. This could have been your parent, your son, and we have to take care of people, period. That's what we're here for. That's what we're all here for, is the betterment of everybody.
How is an ordinance going to deter some maniac from assaulting someone on Alberta Beach?
A well-governed system will bring it to the behavior.
I think we can well beat this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're
not going to take care of the problem,
the ordinance is not going to deter a maniac.
So,
shush,
shush.